Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I heard this in my spirit. I perceive the thoughts of someone saying, maybe more than one, but someone saying, well, what have I got to be joyous about? Well, if you be joyous, maybe you find out. See, the joy of the Lord, joy, is part of your spiritual equipment. Joy is not some kind of feeling. There are feelings that joy can produce. Joy and happiness are two totally different things. Happiness, or what you and most people commonly call happiness, it comes from flesh comfort. That's the reason it doesn't last very long. But joy is a different thing. I mean, you can be you can be full of joy and smiling, dancing, and running around the block and be hurting all over. But if you keep doing that, the hurt's got to go. The hurt has to leave. But you have to do it by faith. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. Fullness of joy. Hallelujah. So just go ahead and be joyful by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Joy of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's a testimony that, thanks guys, I really appreciate it. Amen. But I'm telling you, the healing power of God is still all over the platform. Jesus, my thing, you know, that's a golden moment. Forgive me, Lord, but yeah, I'm after the beast. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The healing power of God, the glory is here. The glory is here. And when I turned around and looked, it was almost physically visible when I looked, but it's here. The glory is here. Say, it's mine. I take it now. I take it now. The glory is here. Amen. The glory is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, so many good things are happening. And the more you and I pay attention to spiritual things, and the more we seek, study, and learn about the realm of the Spirit and walk in it, the more often and more efficiently manifestations of the Spirit come. God's not trying to keep us out of this. That people kind of have the idea that, well, you know, he's holding out. He's never been. No, we're not waiting on God. He's been waiting on us for a long, long time to start living, walking by faith, living and walking in love. And things begin to manifest. I started to tell you about a testimony that Brother Hagin told about a woman that they brought her to the service, and her husband had to carry her in. She was in last stages of cancer and had been told she, you know, it was over, that no more anybody could do in the natural. And her husband carried her in there because she's just skin and bones, you know. And he carried her in there, and Brother Hagin ministered to her, and the word of the Lord came to him. And he ministered to her what God had said. And Now get this. This is important. She got in the healing line, and the moment Brother Hagin laid hands on her, she shouted, "This is it!" No, she said, "That's it!" And fell out under the power of God. "That's it," she said. Well, he had to pick her up and carry her back to the seat. And then after the service was over with, he picked her up and carried her back to the car. And then they were giving their testimony later, they said, you know, he had to go in and he fixed breakfast. She said, "No, I don't want to stand in bed. I want to get up." So he carried her into the table. She sat down at the breakfast table, and she started laughing. Just started laughing. He said, "What are you laughing about?" She said, "The devil thinks I'm still sick, but I'm not." Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. Still had all the same symptoms. He picked her up and took her back to bed. And the next morning they got up for breakfast, and he picked her up and carried her into the breakfast table, and she sat down and started laughing. Ha 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 ha. Ha, she said, "Devil, you think I've still got cancer, but I don't." Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha, just started laughing. See the joy of the Lord. She was partaking of the joy of the Lord. She's laughing by faith in the Spirit. Well, you can't do that very long. You get tickled. You start laughing and it'll just come up in you. Amen. And she just kept doing that. At the end of the third day, all the symptoms had disappeared and she'd completely healed. Now, if she had fallen for the devil's trick, you really didn't get anything. If she'd have said, and when hands were laid on her, even when the power of God was ministered to her, and she yielded to it and just fell out under the power, but then get up with all those same symptoms, you know, well, I guess I just didn't get anything. Well, you've turned it loose. But no, you don't. You can't get Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. It won't work. You have to consider not your own body, like Abraham considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of his wife Sarah's womb. I mean, she never could have children, and now she's nearly 100. I mean, how's this thing gonna work now? But he just said, "Old man, you don't count." Yeah. No, only what God said counts. Turn around and look at her and said, "Old woman, you don't count either. Now I'll tell you something, girl, we're going to have a baby." And she agreed. Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Fully persuaded what God had promised, he is able to perform.
Amen.
But I like what that woman said. "That's it," she said. Now, what'd she do? She established a point of contact. The moment Brother Hagin laid his hand on her, what is a point of contact? That is a pre-established moment that you have decided at that time is when you release your faith and begin believing, and you'll never turn back. You'll never change. I don't care what it feels like, looks like, or what anybody says about it. That's my moment. The woman with the issue of blood. "If I but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." That didn't happen in one day. Let me encourage you with this. It sounds like if you just skim over the top in the fifth chapter of Mark, you just skim over the top of that, and it sounds like she heard of Jesus one day and she said, "If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And then she got out on the street on her knees and crawled out there. No, it didn't happen like that. She heard of Jesus. She heard. Faith cometh by hearing. That's the only way faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, she had heard about Jesus. Somebody told her what he preached. Somebody told her what had happened. Somebody told her about this. She heard about this, and it built up in her. Now, it was illegal for her to be on the street. That's the reason she was afraid when Jesus turned around and said, "Who did that?" She told, trembling. It was illegal for her to be on the street with that plague, that issue of blood. She could have legally been stoned for that. And man Jairus, leader of the synagogue, is walking hand in hand with Jesus when this took place. She intended to crawl out there, drag herself out there without anybody knowing it, and touch that prayer shawl, the hem of that garment, and crawl back out of there without anybody knowing it. Not today. Jesus, knowing in himself, the King James says virtue, but the Greek word is dynamis, the power of God. We get our word dynamite from that word. Explosive power. He said, he stopped knowing that power had flowed. We know it was the anointing of God. Flowed out of him. So you see, he didn't have anything to do with it. It was her faith. That's the reason he said, daughter, your faith made you whole. But we know it was his anointing. How could he say her faith did it? Because there were other people touching him and the anointing wasn't flowing. But there was a man named Jairus that made a faith statement to him, and Jesus was going home with him and dragging that whole crowd behind him. Amen. So faith put him on the move and faith stopped him. So who's controlling the ministry of Jesus? The Spirit of God? No, the faith of the people. Amen. That's what he came for, was the faith of the people. Amen. So Jairus had heard him preach. He knew exactly what he preached. And he, knowing that he's liable to lose his job and everything that he has, he went out there anyway and just humbled himself at his feet, fell at his feet at the lake shore, and made a faith statement and never said anything different the whole day. Come lay your hands on my little daughter and she shall live. That's the last thing he said. Amen. Jesus said, okay, he's going home with him. Who touched me? Hallelujah. The faith demand on the anointing of God always produces results. Always. But that point of contact is necessary. Amen. That point of contact may be the name of Jesus. Don't just hurry up and just pick anything. Spend some time at these things. Listen to the Lord. Listen right in here. Practice it. I still do this today. I started this, well, in just a few months, be 50 years ago. I learned from Brother Hagin and from Brother Roberts and others, but especially those two, I learned that the Word of God is going to come right in here. This is where you're going to hear it. And any born-again child of God, it's in there. Well, God never speaks to me. Well, what is so special about you that God won't have nothing to do with you? Now, see, that's foolishness. The problem is he's speaking all the time. He's never an absentee God. He's speaking all the time. We've been so spiritually dense, we weren't hearing him. And a lot of times you heard him and didn't know it was him. He gets called something a whole lot. Well, you know, Brother Copeland, something just told me. How'd you like to be called something all the time? Nobody ever know your name, it's just something. Did you know something came in here last night? No, but see, he's doing his job all the time. Amen. So I started doing this to direct my attention and my inner ear. I'd put my hand right in here. And I'd inquire of the Lord. And I didn't start out with whole sentences. You know, babies learn to talk one word at a time. That's what I had to do. I say, and you don't start on, Father, how do I get rid of cancer? That's tough. Now, don't give up. I mean, if that's where you're starting, that's where you are. But I started with my socks. Should I wear? See, let me show you. I could goof up the pair of socks and you couldn't see if I got it wrong. You didn't get that. I said, Lord, now should I wear the black socks or these socks? This one over here. This one, yes, sir, no, sir. Okay. Boy, them green socks are gonna look funny with this brown suit. I don't. Surely he didn't tell me to wear them green socks. But I gotta wear them, because if I don't, I mean, I'm saying, well, that wasn't God. Well, now I'm in unbelief. I ain't ever gonna hear anything. I don't have to wear them dumb green socks. Maybe I just need to throw away the green socks if I'm gonna do this again. Well, that's where I started. And I went from socks to shirts to suits to ties. Hey, amen. Now, well, I didn't do too bad tonight, did I? But I still do this today. Brother Copeland, you're just being picky. No, I'm in training. I'm in training. I mean, you cut things down real thin when you're in training. I'm renewing my mind. I'm learning. I'm learning how to hear. I'm training my ear to hear. When I first started flying airplanes over 55 years ago, I mean to tell you, I sat down in that cockpit and I started trying to listen to the radio. I couldn't understand a thing the guy said. And I thought, how am I ever going to get this? But my instructor would say, okay, long as I've got him, everything's going to be all right. But I kept listening. What's happening? Part of the instruction is to train my ear. First thing that happens, I began to learn what to expect that controller to say. That changed everything. Was it that way with you, Tracy, when you first started learning to fly? I found out later, I pretty well know what he's going to say. Now he's easier to understand. What's happening? I'm being trained. Training is taking place. Well, then after a while, you get to where you're listening all the time for that number, your call sign on that airplane. That's that airplane's name. That's my name when I'm in the sky, is the number on the tail of that airplane. I'm always listening for it. Even if I'm sitting there having a conversation with you, I'm always listening for that number. Amen. And the minute it comes on, I hear it. I don't know, they can be talking to other airplanes and they're saying all these different things and all that, but the minute my number comes up on there, out of all of that other traffic, suddenly that just sticks out. Why? I'm paying attention. I need to hear that number. I need to know if he has instructions for me. Now, this is spiritual application 101. Glory to God. You're listening all the time. You're listening all the time. And you train all the time. That is, if you want to hear the voice of God. Because he's talking all the time. But when you get into the Word, you begin to realize here are some things that he's going to say, and there's other things he's not going to say. For instance, it is not my will to heal you at this time. You will have to keep this disease for 37 days, 14 minutes, and 5 seconds so that you will learn, thus saith the Lord. You're a liar, Satan, and the father of it. I ain't falling for that trap. No. How do I know that's not God? There's a lot of people think that is God. How do I know it's not God? Because he's never said it before. I went through the handbook, the operator's handbook, and it isn't in there. So I'm not going to be the first one he ever said that to. You understand? What's happening? Training, listening for God, listening for the Lord. So you go before the Lord and you say, Father, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. And help me establish this point of contact here now. He'll work with you. Yeah. And still a student at Oral Roberts University, the day I registered for school, I just got through registration and started out the front door of the Learning Resource Center. I'm headed back home. I've registered there for classes and everything. And I heard that. I am green as a gourd at this. You understand? But I knew God. God's trying to stop me, and I took another step or two, and all of a sudden my feet stuck to the sidewalk. Now I've had this happen to me 3 times in my ministry, but it hasn't happened in a long, long time because he doesn't have to stick my feet to the sidewalk to get my attention anymore. But thank God he did then. I mean, I'll take whatever I can get because I don't want to be missing him. That's when you get in trouble. Anyway, I said, "What is it, Lord?" He said, "Go back up to the 6th floor." Well, the 6th floor was the top floor. And we, as students, had already been warned, you don't go higher than the 5th. And I said, "Lord," he said, "go to the 6th floor." And I'm hearing him right in here. I said, "Yes, sir." And my feet came undone. So I turned around, went and got in the elevator. And I thought, now they told us we can't go to 6th floor. I must have misheard that. So I'll go to the 5th floor. Maybe that's what the Lord said. So I hit the floor, button on the 5th floor. Well, you have to understand, ORU at that time was only 3.5 years old. And so the 5th floor, which later became the library, was empty. There was not even a chair in that whole floor. And that elevator door opened, and I looked out there, and I thought, what am I doing here? And the Lord said, I didn't tell you the 5th floor. I said the 6th floor. And that time, I heard it good. I said, Lord, I can't go to the 6th floor. Students are not allowed up there. That's the Vatican. He said, they work for me. Get up there now. So hit the button on the 6th floor. The elevator door opened. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here, but I'm here. So the door opened. And Ruth Rook's desk was just a few steps away, because I didn't know her then. And so I just walked up to her. Well, see, I don't look like a student. Because I'm a 30-year-old man. I don't look like a student. So, and she said, may I help you? I said, yes, ma'am. So I just said what just kind of popped out of my mouth. I said, yes, ma'am. I'm a student. I just finished registering, and I understand that this ministry uses an airplane, and I'm a qualified commercial pilot, and I just wanted somebody to know it because I need all the help I can get. And she looked at me like, yeah, well. And she said, well, okay. And the dean of the university, Dr. Messick, walked by, and she said, Dr. Messick, and he stopped, and so she said, tell him. So I told him. And he went, huh. And turned around and went back in his office. I thought, boy, I'm telling you, I'm just shrinking for the second. I mean, really, man, I feel like I'm doing this, you know. And I said, well, I just wanted somebody to know. Thank you very much. And I turned around, and Brother Roberts had walked up behind me. That's what the funny look was on her face. I didn't know, you know. And he's about that much taller than me. And I just, there he stands. I mean, he's this close. And he said, I'm Oral Roberts. I'm not kidding you. I said, he might as well have said, I'm God, who are you? That's the way it hit me. You know? He said, I understand that you're a commercially rated pilot. I said, yes, I am. He said, can you handle our airplane? I said, yes, sir, I can. He said, 2 weeks ago, I started to hire a new co-pilot, but the Spirit of God said, no, I have a student coming that must have the job, and you're my man. And he turned to Mrs. Rook, and he said, Ruth, call Bob DeWeese and tell him I found our new co-pilot. Shook hands with me and walked off. You know, I'm walking out of there. Did I just get a job? Yeah, I believe I did. It took me about 2 days to realize Oral Roberts can't get out of town without me. So things began to progress, and so the couple of meetings down the road, my boss came to me and said, now, I want you to go in the invalid room, and you'll be in there the whole service. The invalid room was a room set aside for people that could not manage the prayer lines and that. Ambulatory people, very, very, very sick or incapacitated people. And they established that back there, and the ambulances could come in, and then doctors could bring patients and that kind of thing. And I saw a lot of things. And they said, now you outline his message. And between the time he gets through preaching that and when he comes in to lay hands on these people, you're going to have about 5 to maybe 6 or 7 minutes. And you go back over the main points of that message and you get them ready to have hands laid on them. And I, wow, okay. And so I'm outlining his message as he preached it, you know. And one of the things he preached on that night was a point of contact. And I'm just hearing this, I'm just learning this. Well, when he walked in the room, I just stepped back out of the way, you know, and stepped over to one side. And he kind of surveyed the room and looked it over and turned around there and looked at me and caught me by my coat like this and pulled me over there to him and held it. He said, now you're going to do the praying. And you're going to do the laying on of hands. Folks, I could feel it. I'm changing colors. I mean to tell you, He said, he laughed at me. He laughed. He said, don't worry about it. He said, if you mess it up, I'll correct you. I'll be standing right there by you. I'll fix it, he said. I said, okay. And he still got a hold of my coat, you know. And then he said, don't touch them till you're ready to release your faith. And what does that mean? When am I going to release my faith? I've never heard that expression. He's still talking about that point of contact. See? So I had been studying how Jesus received the power and authority of his name. I was in the middle of a study of this, and it had just literally changed my life. In the few steps away from about as far from as to Brother Martin there on the corner, we were standing here, and he turned and started over there. There was a woman that had been brought in by her nurse, and she was lying on an old military type cot. I would say she probably weighed 75 pounds at the most, with in last stages of stomach cancer, and just skin and bones, except her little tummy, bless her heart, was all pooched out there, you know, just, I mean, looked like she's pregnant this with this thing. And he just heads toward her. And the thing crossed my mind, dear God, is this the first one? and then what he said took over my thinking. Don't touch them till you're ready to release your faith. Okay. I know the name of Jesus will be my point of contact. I will not touch them until I speak in my prayer in the name of Jesus. So that I'm going to make that the healing power of God went in. Did you detect that one? I'm going to do that again. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord. Something about your elbows. I don't know what. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So and we're walking over this. This is going on in my spirit. So we walked up there to her, and I said, in the name of Jesus, and I touched her just as I said, Jesus, and that's all I got out of my mouth. He was standing right here behind me, and you foul, unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, take your hands off of God's property. Only it had probably 50 times the volume on it that I had right there. Supernatural. You can't even do that in the natural. Every hair on my body was at attention. All I could think of, the lion of the tribe of Judah has just roared. She went, oh, and spit that tumor out on the floor. Now, where was my faith? In the name of Jesus. You remember what Peter said at the beautiful gate? Why look ye on us as though by our holiness or our calling this man was made strong? He said it was faith in the name of Jesus that raised this man up. That's what delivered that woman, was faith in the name of Jesus. Not just mine, but of course his. Because see, that's what he said. In the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, take your hands off of God's property. Amen. I wanted you to see that tonight. Hallelujah. There was another incident. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I need to ask you a question. Am I ever going to do this here? Okay. Yeah. Oh, all right. Praise. Yeah, this part of it. Okay. In the name of Jesus. So, we were in Detroit, Michigan, and with Brother Roberts, and during the daytime services, you couldn't get a prayer card and get in that prayer line without you had already heard some word. You couldn't just go in, get a prayer card, and go get in the prayer line, go get in the car, and go home. That wasn't going to happen, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you had to come to the day services. We had thousands of people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and a lot of them got their healing before the night service ever came. But that's where the prayer cards were. And my boss, Brother DeWeese, came up to me. He said, "Ken, we've got so many people, we're not ever going to get them all prayed for." He said, there's no way that these people can get hands laid on them in the night services. He said, "I'm going to set you up a prayer line." I said, "Yes." Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, I wanted in. Well, one of the very first, she might have been the very first, I believe she was the first one. She walked up in front of me. You couldn't see, this thing came out of her hairline, down over her forehead, and almost had her eye covered up. You could just barely see her eye out from under the corner of this thing, and then it went down like this, about this far. It was angry, purple, bluish looking thing. It was just, I mean, it is just nasty looking, you know. And of course, it was malignant. And she walked up there in front of me. And you remember, Jesus was moved with compassion. Same word translated mercy. And he healed. All right, he was moved with compassion and he taught. All of a sudden, that just flashed over me, and all I could think of was to attack that thing. It was just instant. I'm still doing the same thing. In the name of Jesus! And it just disappeared. And I went, it kind of just sucked the air out of the room. Now, my mother was in that meeting, and she was standing right behind me and had both hands in the small of my back praying in the Spirit. Because I had a lot of people to pray for. And she had come up there to that meeting. It was in Detroit. And shocked everybody there. And Mother said, "Where'd that thing go?" And I said, "I don't know." Amen. He's just gone. Well, I inquired of the Lord over that for some time. I won't know what happened to the thing. And the word of the Lord came to me sometime later, and he said, "You know, my word created all matter, all material, all natural flesh matter, all things." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "My word and the power in my name dematerialized that cancer. And it went into the spirit realm of nothingness and was destroyed." Hallelujah. Well, that helped me. I began to see where, I began to see how and where you can expect things like that to take place. It's not so mysterious. After I saw the process of it, it all has to do with faith. Faith in God. Amen. Because it was faith out of God that created all matter. Well, that, you know, that's another lesson. Praise God. Now then, that wasn't my message at all. I guess that's my preliminaries, but Let's open our Bibles to Colossians 1, verse 16. Colossians 1:16. And of course, what the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. thank you, Lord. Has to do with faith for finances. Now, we've been talking about faith for healing, faith for miracles and exploits. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, Colossians 1:16. Excuse me. For by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Television was not created for the devil. Television was not created for politics. Television was created to preach the gospel. Amen. For and by him. Yes. All things includes all things. Amen. Now then, let's begin looking at Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Oh, dear Lord, Myrtle, he's going to preach the whole thing. I'm going to give it a shot. And look at verse 26. Now, when God spoke these words, the English Bible, unfortunately, looks as though that God suddenly had a good idea. But that's not the case at all. And you have to remember that God never changes. And once you see his style in the Word of God, then you can expect it to be that way all the time because he doesn't change. He got it right the first time. He didn't have to go back and fix it. Now, let's go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That is not what the Hebrew text says. The Hebrew text said, God said, light be. Light was. So he didn't change. Now, when you realize that, you get down to this 26th verse, you begin to understand he's not saying to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, let us make us a man in our image. That's not what he said at all. He said, man be. Oh. Yeah. These are the words. These are the birth words of Adam. Hallelujah. Now you get over there in the second chapter and you see that the Lord formed his body out of the dirt. So here's God with this lifeless body. Amen. Can you see it? I mean, here he is with this lifeless body. There's no life in him. Man be. Hallelujah. Now the words that he spoke became the nature of the man. Man be in our image after our likeness. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man. Now, this is important. Adam, if you read further and read on through the second chapter, we won't go there, but it just simply says, and man became a living being. Now, if you study that out, and particularly if you go to the Chumash and you get the commentaries of the old sages, they translate that like this. And man became a living, speaking spirit like God. Those words became Adam. Suddenly, the body was alive. Are you following me? But now Adam didn't hear any of those words. No, he didn't hear anything until he finished those words. What? Now I'm telling you, if you're a Bible student, first words are huge. Amen. The first words the first man ever heard with his ears. Be blessed. Be fruitful. Hallelujah. The blessing was the first thing any human being ever heard. You think we're supposed to be blessed? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody need to shout amen right there. I mean, that'll dawn on you about 3 o'clock this morning. You jump out of bed. Glory to God. Amen. Now then, I wanted you, the Lord wanted you to get that and see that. Now, let's go back over there now where we were in the book of Colossians. Thank you, Lord. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. God created the Garden of Eden and he put the man in it. Amen. Everything in this entire planet was created for the man. Hallelujah. All of it. All of it. Adam, God's under ruler. Amen. Literally the God of this earth had now the power and authority through the blessing to control this earth. With the same force that created this earth, the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that now this man has command authority over the whole earth and everything in it. God created it and gave it to him. Hallelujah. Now let's follow this up. Let's look in Psalm chapter 50, the 50th Psalm. Thank you, Lord. You weren't going anywhere tonight, were you? Good, because we'll be through here in about 3 hours or so. Psalm chapter 50. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. He said, if I was hungry, I'm not going to tell you about it. I want it all. I'll eat whatever I want to eat. You understand that? I mean, see, he'd be being pretty blunt about this thing. If I was hungry, I wouldn't bring it up with you. What do I need to tell you for? Amen. Now, Let's look at something else here. Let's go to the 115th Psalm. And in fact, go ahead and look that up. Psalms 115. And let's go to the book of Haggai. Praise God. And in Haggai, back there where you have to unstick your pages. Page 1117, in case you're having a hard time finding it. In my Bible, I don't know what it is in your. Haggai chapter 2, look at the 8th verse. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Now the 115th Psalm, verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Boy, you need to grab hold of that right now. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has He given to the children of men. Glory to God. Amen. Now we're getting really close to what the Lord wanted us to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, 26th verse, verse 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So he said it twice. Hebrews chapter 1, glory to God. God, who at sundry time and in different manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Now, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And when He was raised from the dead, God appointed Him heir of all things. Go back to Genesis, the very first chapter. All things were created for Adam. Right? Well, hey, who is Jesus? The last Adam, the second and the last Adam. Amen. Hallelujah. And He got it all back.
Yes.
Yeah, He got it all back. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I said He got it all back. He got it all back. He said all authority has been given unto me both in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, fasten your seatbelt and go to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 8. And I am rejoicing because I know what's coming. Glory to God. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I'm waiting on amen here.
Amen.
Hey, He appointed Him heir of all things.
Thank you, Jesus.
All things were created for and by him, and we are joint heirs with him. Glory to God. Everything you will ever need, everything beyond what you can ask or think, everything that is beyond your human imagination, everything that you could possibly ever call for and be richer than your wildest imagination is already in the earth. It doesn't have to come from somewhere in heaven. It is already here right now, and it will respond to faith in God, and it will respond to his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Hallelujah. You have to meditate on this. We have been so religiously brainwashed that it takes a while to meditate your way through that trash. Well, we're so unworthy. You never know what God's gonna do. Oh, yes, Emma. We have a saying out in West Texas, bull. I have little or no time for that. We know exactly what God will do. We got it in his book. He'd tell you exactly what he'll do. He tells you what to do and what he'll do. You can expect him to do everything he said he'd do. Hallelujah. How glory be to God. This and everything in it belongs to Jesus. And he gave it to you and me. He gave it to you and me. Hallelujah. He had no idea of you ever going without anything you need or anything you want. Ow! See, there you go again. I mean, you know, it shocked your religious sensitivity. If I could get more voltage, I'd shock you sure enough. But... well, I mean, if that shocked you, let me see if I got something else here that... In fact, I know I do. Glory to God. And if you will turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, go sell everything you have. Give it all away. I don't want you to have any of this old world's goods. Hey! This is not this old world's goods. When are you going to get a hold of that? And did you notice it's not this old world's bads? Have you ever been to a dry bad store? You've been to a dry good store, but not a dry bad store. Those are goods. Amen. They're dry goods. They're grocery goods. They're goods. They ain't bad. They're good. Amen. Hallelujah. At least the world got sense enough to know that. Amen. Yeah. Well, they don't want to have any of this old world's goods. All the goods here don't belong to the world nor the God of this world. They belong to the body of Christ. And we should be in control of them. And we're the ones ought to be blessed. We ought to be controlling the economy and the world come to us for goods. And that way we can share, we can give and bless them and they get born again. And that's what God had planned all the time. But I got a shocker right here. If you're having trouble with that, look at the rest of this verse. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Woo! Ha! I don't know where I've done you any good or not. I done preached me slap happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All things to enjoy. Now, the word tells us, in fact, you want to look in 1 John, we'll go over there and see it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. That is in the New Testament, isn't it? Yeah, right there, 1 John. And let's look in the second chapter, 15th verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, now, see there, Brother Copeland, see there, you're not supposed to have it. No, it didn't say you're not supposed to have it. It said don't love it. Well, Brother Copeland, I don't love things. Oh, really? You don't say. Glory to God. Don't you just love my new suit? You just sat there and told me you loved my suit. And here it's a thing. Gotcha. Now, what's going on here? We've been way too sloppy with the word love, because God is love. And because of our looseness in the way we describe things and use the word love, it really has very little honor in our lives and in place in our lives. And so when it comes to loving God and loving people, it's right in there, you know, with loving your bike and you, I just love everything. I just love pizza. Well, I don't know what love is. Well, you just said it's a pizza. And that's the kind of confusion that weakens your faith. So what do? You go back into training, glory to God. I don't love my new suit, but I do enjoy it. Yes. Hallelujah. And then I'm going along one day, and the Lord said, do I give you things to meet your needs? And you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. He said, no, I don't give you things to meet or supply your needs. He said, I give you things to enjoy, and they supply your needs. Well, that's just one step up closer to the way he thinks. And the closer you get to the way he thinks and you begin to realize how he thinks and how he talks, and you begin to think like he thinks and talk like he talks, you begin to get his results. Amen. And things are no longer a big faith problem anymore, because you realize it's all part of your covenant. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. So let's stand. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Did it help your faith? Has faith come? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Do you believe that in your heart? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now I pray over this congregation And there are financial needs in the whole house, one way or the other. And there are situation needs, and there are physical needs, and all of that. But you supply our needs according to your riches and glory. Yes, and heaven has released through the earth the faith, the spirit, the name, the gifts, and all that it takes to receive everything we could possibly need or want in this life. But we understand we have to fight the good fight of faith to receive it and keep it. Hallelujah. Because there's a thief loose, and we need to bind him and bring him to a stop. Hallelujah. God has provided ways and means for us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. Amen. You become part of the supply for your brothers and sisters out there that don't know how to get it yet. And we're not just a relief organization. No, we preach the gospel to the poor so that they begin to prosper and they begin to come up. They begin to be blessed. And then they minister to the poor and then they minister to the sick. And that's the way this works. Praise God. Amen. Are you ready? Then say it, and say it boldly. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I am not a doubter.
I am not a doubter.
I believe I receive.
I believe I receive.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I release my faith.
I release my faith.
I am a faith person.
I am a faith person.
I walk and live by faith.
I walk and live by faith.
I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth. All my needs have been supplied.
They're not in heaven.
They're right here on earth.
And
they've got my name on them. And I'm calling them. Come. Come healing. Come financial prosperity. Come peace and joy.
Come, peace and joy.
Come, honor.
Come honor.
Come goodness and mercy.
Come. And
come.
I receive you.
You're mine.
The
glory is
here.
It's here for my sake. And all of these things are in the glory. They're here right now. I call them out of their glory. And I call them into my presence. I'm a believer. I believe it.
I say it.
I have it.
I have faith in God.
I thank you for it.
And I forgive.
I'm not only a believer,
I'm a forgiver.
For I understand, if I don't forgive,
it interrupts the glory.
If I interrupt the glory,
I go back into want.
I go back into debt.
I go back into sickness.
No, I've come out of all that.
I forgive.
I'm a forgiver.
I'm a lover.
Not a condemner.
Oh,
praise God.
I forgive.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I want you to do what I do. Are you ready? Do what I do. Blessing, come to me now. Blessing.
money call to me now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Healing call to me now. Hallelujah. Glory.
Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just worship you. Oh, we praise you, Father. Everyone in the building, lift your hand right now. Everyone in the whole building. Anyone in this house that has never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to hold your hand up there right now. We're going to lead you to the throne of grace. If you've got sin in your life, Jesus said, anyone comes unto me, I will for no reason cast him out. And if you'll confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you your sin. When? When you confess it. And I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And pray this. Everybody in the house. Oh God in heaven. I believe with all my heart. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Take my life and do something with it. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Oh, I repent of sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for cleansing me from all sin. Say it. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing me of all sin. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus. I receive your word where it said, you've blotted my sins out and you remember them no more. Let me say something to you right here. That's Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blotteth out your transgressions and for my own sake, and I'll remember them no more. He remembers what Jesus did on that cross. Jesus does not remember your sin. He remembers what he did on that cross and how he went to hell and suffered it for you. So it's time for us to forget what he forgot and remember what he remembers. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That just makes you so free in your heart. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, God, thank you. I was preaching one time down the state of Florida years and years ago. And I ain't going to tell you what I did. It ain't none of your business. But it wasn't good. Well, yeah, I'll tell you. I got mad. And I at some folks, and I shouldn't have done that. But anyway. And of course, I stormed around my hotel room there a little while, and man, repented of it. But oh man, I'm telling you, I was so embarrassed before the Lord Jesus for what I'd done and said. I just, oh man. And I said, oh God. I said, Lord, I'm not going over and preach tonight. I tell you, I feel too bad about this, sir, about the way I acted in your presence, and Now, you'll just have to get you somebody else to preach over there. No, I'm not going. And I heard it just as plain. He said, why? I said, what do you mean, why? You know why. I'm not going over there with this on my heart and this on my conscience. I'm not going over there tonight and stick up my big bony finger and say, thus saith the Lord. I'm not going to do it. You just get you somebody else. He said, why? I said, you know why? He said, didn't you confess that before me a little while ago and repent of it? I said, yes, I did. He said, Kenneth, When you confessed that sin wasn't when I found out about it. He said, that's when you got rid of it. Oh. Now he said, don't let your feelings tell you what to do. Let your faith tell you what to do. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. I said, yeah, my faith is in you because you are faithful and you are just to forgive me of my sin when I confess it and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It's wiped out. Man, I mean, it is wiped out. He doesn't remember it at all. But that's when I got rid of it. That's when I got it out of my spiritual system here. And I still felt like a dog all the way over there to that meeting that night. But I said, no, sir, I'm preaching by faith tonight. Amen. My feelings can't tell me what to do. My faith tell me what to do. And I kept reading 1 John 1:9. I kept reading it, and got over there and I read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that hit my spirit, and I said, glory to God. And but you know, by the time I started preaching, man, the anointing came. My, we had a wonderful service. Amen. Can you see that? Well, just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. Now you have forgotten all of that. And now by faith, I forget it. By faith, I forget it. I don't let my feelings dominate me. I let my faith in God dominate me. And I praise you for it. Praise Him for it. Praise Him for it. Praise Him for it. People are being delivered right now. I saw this in the Spirit. I saw it in the Spirit. And I'm going to say what the Lord told me to say. You get that abortion off of your mind. You get it off your mind right now. Don't you ever let the devil bring that up to you again. I'm telling you right now, God has forgotten it, and it's time for you to forget it. It's time for you to get rid of that sin consciousness and become conscious of the fact that God not only has wiped that sin out of your life, your baby is waiting on you on the other side. I heard the Lord say that. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that good? Yeah, but Brother Copeland, you don't understand. The life I lived was, oh my goodness. You just don't understand, Brother Copeland. Well, I understand this. Jesus' great-grandmother was a harlot. What? Have you never heard of Rahab the harlot? And over and over again, the Bible doesn't just call her Rahab. It continually, even in the wall of fame, Hebrews 11, the faith hall of fame, Rahab the harlot is in there. And it always calls her that, bringing to mind the faith of God. Amen. And she became David's grandmother. Hallelujah. How important is that? See, God didn't have any problem with the harlot part. That's what people have a problem with. But God don't have any problem with that. Amen. I'm telling you, I know the Spirit of God talking to somebody. Talking to somebody. Yeah, I know it. I know it. I know you did that. And you've never told anybody, and the law doesn't know you did it. Of course, God knows you did it, and it keeps bothering you, and it keeps bothering you, and it keeps eating on you and grating on you. Well, take it up with the Lord. The Lord may have you go do something about it, but don't you do anything without you confer with God at some length, and you pray that out. But whatever it is, you get that crime off your heart. You hear me? Get that crime off your mind. And get the blood of Jesus on your mind. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy the night? Are you glad you came? Give the Lord one more praise. Hallelujah.